welcome to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning, or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
The American pastor A.W. Tozer once famously said, "What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." He was making a substantial point. And the Galatians that Paul was writing to in Galatians chapter 4 were dealing with first order questions of real substance. And I think we can learn a lot from their experiences if we're willing to wrestle with substantial questions about God. I'll say this now, it would be relatively straightforward to make a true point, but slightly oversimplified, on the theme of being a child of God from Galatians 4. But yet, as one lingers on this little section from the lectionary readings, there is so much going on. But let's first of all set the scene of Galatia a little bit. It's easy to forget that the believers in Galatia were new. They were young in the faith, and they were new to their way of understanding God in Christ and relating to him on that basis. Very easy for us now to maybe look with and think of a certain naivety among them then, or caricature them with having these sort of evil Judaizers always among them wanting to circumcise them, without perhaps remembering, first of all, how radical the shift was for these new Christians to base their lives on an entirely new foundation. They were being asked to shift ground, they were being asked to shift their thinking, and even their application of their holy scriptures. They, of course, in Galatia had made the leap, but they were struggling to stay with it and were being influenced by a weakened version of Christianity. And Paul smelt trouble, hence why he is all hot and bothered in this letter to the churches in Galatia, perhaps his most fiery letter out of all the letters he crafted. Something was at stake, something significant, something fundamental. Just think how hard it has been for the church in recent years to shift their thinking on issues like music or styles of worship, the role of women, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the emerging church that led into the missional church movement. All of these issues have begged believers to go back to their convictions, to re-examine their scriptures, and none of them were arguably as significant as a shift of what was going on with the Galatians. Though there are many divergent views on what the absolute nub of the issue was that provoked Paul to write this letter, what seems clear is that the issue was something about the law and something that had the potential to undermine the foundation of Christ alone as the basis of what gives one confidence before God, and something about how the Gentiles, non-Jews, were being included in the people of God. And again, remember, the inclusion of the Gentile people then was mind-boggling for the Jewish people of old. Paul was trying to ground them in a confident, non-fear-driven, non-law-driven relationship with God through Jesus. So we should feel invited this morning to deal in substantial questions in our time. In this much disputed book in the New Testament, however, we have an important Christmas message. A message that at first might be hard to grasp in this particular moment of time. It's a message about time. A message that can bolster confidence. A message that can give direction and hope as we anticipate the year that lies ahead. But we will need to go looking for it. What is God's heart at this time that we are in today, at the end of 2020? What are we to think? What are we to believe? In some quarters, when the plague comes, or when the virus comes, or when difficulties come, we can readily leap to quite early views, well, and think, well, the gods must be angry, or the gods are against us. Has God withdrawn himself from his people? Has he withdrawn and been silent again? Has he given us the cold shoulder? God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, Paul says, and then makes explicit that the incarnation reveals God's heart in this Christmas season, and his heart is to redeem, to restore. Born of a woman, he will identify with humanity in order to save it. He will be able to save us because he was perfect in obedience. Under the law, as a Jew in the time of the law, fulfilling the law, and therefore he could be a perfect sacrifice on the cross that would close the gap, that could make atonement, make us one again with God, redeeming a glory once lost in the Garden of Eden. Grasping God's heart here is key. The language of redemption brings back the former act of redemption, the great act of redemption that we know of in the Old Testament, when God led his people out of Egypt. And remember the shape of that deliverance. It was comprehensive, it was total, away from the socioeconomic oppression, away from their old lords, their slave drivers. They were led into a new place, flowing with milk and honey, and where they were re-established in the bond of a secure covenant relationship with Yahweh. One of the pivotal moments in the Old Testament Exodus narrative, as well as the great call of Moses and that hero story that's built around him, is the moment where God says, "I have heard my people's cry. I have heard their misery." And in those days, though, you might have been forgiven for being a little unsure at the time that, you know, there was this great leader Moses, but he had his flaws, and it might actually maybe reduce your confidence at times in what was really going on. But now, for God to come down to identify with our world and to state, it's stated even more clearly, if still ever so gently, that God in Christ is for us. His heart is for us to redeem us. God sent his son, born of a woman, in order to redeem. This will be and is and has been a new redemption on an even grander scale than the Exodus could ever have been in the Old Testament. God's heart at this time is to seek and to save, not to strike down and destroy. So when life goes wrong, or when you're tempted to think God hates me, or God's against me, or God's disciplining me harshly, or because he's rejecting me, or some arbitrary vengeance that God just wants to bring to me, may our hearts return to the Christmas message of incarnation and hear God's intent to lift up, to redeem our lives. So what comes to your mind when you think of God, or what's God's heart at this time? Answer 101 is he is a redeemer, a healer, a helper. But again, what's God's heart at this time? There's something about time here that I think is particularly empowering and comforting. The first level of comfort is in God, who delivers his plan on time. The plan of God here is not accidental, but when the fullness of time or the completion of time had come, God delivers. And being somewhat straightforward, if God gets his timing right on the macro level issues, surely we can take some comfort in the micro level issues that feel huge in our own lives, and trust here and trust once again in the timing of God as we anticipate his redemption, his action, his healing, his help. The second level of comfort is that now is the time of fulfillment. Galatians 4:1-7 paints the picture of the heir of a wealthy son who yet remains without freedom himself until he actually receives his inheritance. And this corresponds to the customs of the time when even wealthy children lived under the control of teachers and guardians. And in some ways then, the children were no different to the slaves. They had no more rights yet. And Paul insists that the crucial day has already now come for all who will trust in Christ. We can be no longer under the supervision of the law of Moses, awaiting something, awaiting our inheritance. Christ has now come and brought us out and led the way out of slavery into God's family. In him, Christians then can find this adoption as full sons. We are God's heirs. Now is the time. This is the new era. Now is the time of fulfillment. God is on the move. God has acted. Now, the inheritance brings to mind the land of Canaan and many other things which comes to symbolize then in a more expansive way in the New Testament of this renewed world, or in the language of eternal life through the forgiveness of sins. It includes too the foretaste of this new kingdom reality breaking in. But importantly, it's not just the forgiveness or the acquittal of guilt for sins, but it's indeed a new exodus or a deliverance of the power of sin. And so this inheritance of becoming a true son isn't just about forgiveness, but we've been called out of darkness into a new light, into a new identity where sin has lost its power and there are new paths ahead for us to walk in. Just try and we remind ourselves and take that in. There is a new path, a new identity that God has for us in Christ that opens up new possibilities as we learn what it means to walk with God and become the redeemed people of God, the lifted up people of God that we were intended to be. And in that sense, I don't mind calling it the better version of ourselves, because there's almost a baptismal feel to this fulfillment of this time. It reminds me like the moment of a newlywed couple who have just said their vows, and in their minds and hearts is the new vista opening up in front of them of the potential of this relationship. Or the feel of a baptismal candidate who's coming out of the waters of baptism, who is just so fresh and in their desire to lay down their life for Christ in the future that lies ahead. Or even moving house, leaving the old property behind with all its problems and seeing all the potential of the new project at hand. Now is the time for moving on into your God-given purpose. The third layer of comfort, and herein lies something of our commission and some level of challenge. The third layer is that God provides the spirit of adoption. Not by might nor even power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Paul wanted them to learn a new way to relate to God, to rely on God by his spirit, and to come to him as his child, as part of the family. To be secure, bound to God, our Father, on the basis of Christ's atonement in the cross. Secure in that bond. Free from the power of sin and selfishness are being dealt with. And even death no longer reigns as the consequence of our sin. And empowered to walk in a new direction with God and his people, anticipating the goodness of God, both now and forevermore, secure, free, and empowered, this new way of being a son, a child of God, full inheritance. Here's how I see the challenge, though, both then and now. It's hard to stay at home in this secure bond, not because God changes his mind, but because we do. The challenge is also we are free, but in our freedom, we can turn back to our old ways that don't satisfy. And we are empowered, but we often find it easier to rely upon our own strength rather than committing to be people of the Holy Spirit. But now is the time where we remind ourselves that that need not be so. What comes into your mind when you think of God? Absent, distant, powerless, non-existent. The tragedy of Advent and Christmas would be reminding ourselves of the arrival of God in the Christ child and reminding ourselves of the arrival due in his second coming without embracing the arrival of God's Spirit now in our hearts by faith. An arrival that grounds us in the love of God, that is Father, Son, and Spirit. An arrival that changes how we view ourselves, our identity. And an arrival that changes our very instincts before God, our reflexes of how we come into his presence, how we approach him, what we expect. Maybe something needs to shift if we do not experience God at the moment as our dear Father, Abba Father. And what comes into your mind then when you think about these times that we are in at the end of this year and at the start of the next? Do you feel defeated or empowered, constrained or commissioned? You see, if we are going to go into the year ahead thinking this whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, and then the chances are that's what we will see and that's how we could perceive things. And the chances are that we will have nothing more to offer than the spirit of this age. Some hope perhaps in science or else just some cynicism on despair. And maybe we just buy into the subtle or not so subtle messages of the media and fail to tell a different story. Paul in Galatians reminds us that the time has come. The time is now. This is our story and this should be our song. We are in the age of the poured out Spirit of God. His very life, breath and presence is given, though it is not always felt in every season. And this is the Christmas message, to say God is among us, that he is at work among us. In the time of upheaval and trial, his heart is clear, crystal clear. He is our Redeemer. When we meet darkness, we run into it in the power of God's Spirit. When we gather, we anticipate and discern God's Word and Spirit. We yearn for it. We need it. We confess our need of God's Spirit among us. When we meet oppression, we announce favor. And when we meet a brick wall of despair, we call on the new wine of God's Spirit. As we look out at this time, we must remember that God sent his son, Jesus. And that changes everything. And may we be led forward in 2021 with joy. Not as the world gives, but a joy that knows God is here, that announces God was here, that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And may we too feel commissioned to announce this good news. And now, as we close the chapter on what has been an incredibly challenging and difficult year, may we with faith follow our Lord and be found keeping in step with his Spirit in the year that lies ahead. Three prayers we could pray. First one is this. Father, I return to you with my whole heart and come home to my true self as one entirely and comprehensively loved and favored by you. Second prayer. Father, I receive the mercy of Jesus. I accept. I need Christ to be one with you. Forgive me. I want to know you and walk in your ways. And thirdly, Father, open the eyes of our hearts to see the work of your Spirit. Forgive us for depending on our own strength. And lead us as we now pray in the name of your Son. Come, Holy Spirit, because now is the time. As we finish this year, may that be so. I wish you all an incredibly happy new year. I know that comes for some at a cost, but I know in the Christian tradition and faith, we know that our happiness runs deep. The roots go down deep into the heart of God. Our happiness is not rooted in just a moment of time. Our happiness is rooted into a person. And I pray that as we go into the year that lies ahead, may God give us the faith to move forward with each other, grounded in the hope that God is here, God is among us, and he will do great things. May that be so.